It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Today's episode of the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors. You need energy efficiency when doing a lot of things in this world. For me, when I'm hosting a podcast. But you also need energy efficiency if you want the most out of your windows and doors. You know, I'm looking at Pella's website right now. How about this? Not one, not two, not three, not four, but five different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time. That is big time. For more information on how Pella can make your home more comfortable and energy efficient, check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And the Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good pals at Runza. You know, you got the reliable, amazing things on the menu, like, you know, cheese Runza, cheeseburger, double cheeseburger. For me, even something like the Southwest chicken salad. But if you're looking to switch things up, I got three words for you. French onion burger. Oh, yeah. You got Swiss cheese, which is the perfect complement to the homemade French onion dip. And to top it all off, you got grilled onions on this delicious burger. Switch things up, get out to Runza, and try the French onion burger today. Runza makes it all better. Okay, so this is basically part two of this wine pod session. Part one was all about reacting to the sudden retirement of Nebraska Athletic Director Bill Moose. And if you missed that, make sure you go check out part one. This is part two, and we're sticking with Nebraska football. We're Husker football heavy. And, you know, basically this pod, I have a running note section in my phone where I just have thoughts and takes and opinions and different things with Nebraska football. And I decided to kind of unload a whole bunch of Nebraska football thoughts right at Bo Rude, former Husker linebacker, and get his reaction and insight on kind of what's on my mind as it pertains to Husker football. And Bo had a couple of really illuminating points that I thought were really interesting, especially with the defense and how experience can translate to forcing more turnovers. It was a really interesting point. This was great. This was great. Me and Bo are already more than a little drunk with the wine, so it makes for an even more fun chat. But here we go, man. Part two of our wine pod. Me and Bo Rude talking Husker football. Enjoy. I'm recording right now. Bo Rude is here. I would say, I mean, it's a wine pod, but we have smashed this wine here.
We're down to the backwash.
We are down to the good stuff. We're feeling fantastic here. So I don't even know what, I usually try to think of like fun names for things, for like different pods. This one is, I just wrote down a handful of thoughts, takes, topics, where I'm just going to pepper it at you, and
now,
you got to react.
Nick, I got to stop you there because we had a. I can't tell you how many people texted me and said, Nick Baugh in the 90s.
What's wrong with me?
Nick.
That was one of the more eye-opening moments. Like, I needed to take a long walk on the beach and, like, contemplate who I was after
that. Is it that you think you're missing the 90s?
I don't
because
know.
Because the 90s were great.
The 90s
I'll
were great.
Say
for,
that.
For people that don't know, so we did the list pod where I just gave top five and top 10 lists of various things. And I truthfully had no idea going into this as I was going to do it that it turned out to every list was I miss the 90s.
Something turned out to be whatever the topic was, Nick chose
all
the answers from the 90s. And by the end of it, we were just dying, just going like,
you have to go listen to it. It's a two-parter.
Yeah.
You got to go listen to it. It was fantastic. But I don't think this is going to be that. Okay.
Don't hold back. If you're feeling 90s, you just bring the 90s.
Well, I got, you would have loved, I even got you remember Andy Wright, Irving Middle School.
Andy Wright.
Shouts out to Andy Wright. Sent me a long email to nick@nickbaugh.com. telling me how much he enjoyed the show, all that stuff. Like, that's why we're doing this.
But he's a 90s guy.
He's a 90s guy.
He's probably also stuck in the 90s and he misses it.
You want the first topic here?
Give it to me.
Well, I need help with the last part of this.
Okay.
I left it open because I didn't know what to do for the last part. So I like to, I don't know where it is with you. You go on walks, especially with your baby now. You take the stroller out and you walk. There's something about walking or riding your bike where I think the clearest when I'm out moving like that.
Yeah.
The hard part about bike riding is I have such a bad memory now. Like if I don't get something out and write it down right away, I will forget it. So it's hard. There's times I'm on my bike path and I'll be like,
okay, this is why we need video. This is why we need video.
Was that bad?
Okay, that face you just made is why we need to start doing video.
We need to video these things,
huh? We got to go on video, I think.
Oh, but there's times I slam on the brakes and get off to the side, and I get out my phone, and I have to write down a thought,
yeah.
Okay? And some of the thoughts are like, oh, hold on, 1996 was awesome! I love 1998! All right, back onto my bike.
Oh.
But I was biking and I thought about, some of this popped in my head. The three stats that will define Nebraska's season. You don't tell me you wouldn't slam on your brakes if you were on the bike. Great Scott, the three stats.
Oh, God.
So I have two of them that I feel good about. Then the third one I need help on. The three stats that'll define this season for Nebraska football. The first one, turnover margin.
Okay.
Feel good about that, right?
Great about
not
it.
Not complicated. Of course not. Like people aren't right now are like, wow, good thinking. But like, nevertheless, Nebraska's defense got to get better, take it away. Offensively, got to take care of the ball.
If everybody remembers the Dirk Chatwin article from 2 years ago, which I found to be unbelievable with the scatter plot.
It's incredible.
Nebraska was some sort of bizarre outlier of history that they have a better record and had the worst turnover margin of any team in college. It was a great scatter plot, but yes, turnover margin is a special,
it's huge.
It's a special stat for Nebraska. That should be number one.
I'm holding my Athlon College Football Preview magazine that I went to Barnes & Noble with Mava with. Mava loves to go. She calls it the bookstore. We go to the Barnes & Noble like multiple times a week. But, I mean, you look at it like turnover margin is one of their advanced stats. Last year, Nebraska ranked 124th in turnover margin. That's basically dead last.
It is. We've been bad with it.
It's dead last. So turnover margin is the first one. Not complicated. The second one I put down was red zone offense.
Ooh, I like that you went there for the second because that kinda was the tale of last year.
Just got in the red zone and went down the crapper.
Yeah.
They were able to move the ball in between the 20s. When they got into the red zone, they either couldn't put a touchdown up or sometimes before they got Connor Culp, they couldn't even find points, period.
Yes.
So the ability to convert in the red zone offensively, enormously important. Do you feel comfortable?
I think that's very fair.
You're not ready to put it in your top three, but it's...
No. I think I feel good about it at two, actually.
Okay.
I do.
So this is where I wrote down, help with the last one.
Okay, so my brain immediately goes to special teams field position starting place.
I put down... First thing I put down, average starting field position, then in parentheses I put special teams.
Nick, do we know each other?
We know each other.
Do but we I know each other
a,
well?
We do. But I was trying to think of a way to, because to me that's the ultimate, special teams is kind of a weird component to the game where it's hard to statistically quantify it, but average starting field position is probably the best way to quantify it.
For this team, that's important because we saw that those three stats... And this is why I think we're probably right, is those three stats defined our last season, right?
Right. Maybe I'm living, but like...
The years before, you could have thrown in some defensive stats like, right.
Sacks.
Yards per carry.
Yeah.
Those things that we didn't do as well defensively the 2 years before, I think we cleaned up some of the defense, and the big things that stood out were... First of all, turnovers. Second of all, red zone efficiency, and then field position from special teams.
So I'd feel good about that, but can I give you two other ones I wrote down?
Okay.
I put down, the other one I put down was third down. Just third down efficiency offensively and defensively.
Always a great stat.
Doesn't feel as important as the other ones, though. Because I thought Nebraska's defense got better last year.
They did. And I think if we weren't coming off last year, third down always probably trumps starting field. It's like third down turnovers is kind of the big stats, I always felt like. But with us coming off of last year, I actually think that special teams and the red zone offense were extraordinarily bad last year, that we need to have those improved first.
What I did write down, sacks. Are we moving that? That's honorable mention. It's not in the top three.
Honorable mention.
And then the other one I put down was a 1,000-yard running back rusher.
I don't know that it's crucial. It does, I don't know that.
Because is it going to be a bike?
It could be a committee that does 1,200 yards.
Right.
It does a committee that does 1,500 yards.
Okay, so then maybe just 1,000 yards. What about 1,000 yards from the running backs?
I think that's a requirement. You got to have that. How can you not have that?
I mean, it's because I was trying
did
to think of a way.
Did we not get a total of 1,000
yards?
Good question.
We had to have, right?
Well, I don't know that we did, because McCaffrey and Martinez gave us 1,000, I would guess. But I don't know that we did, because think about Mills.
And he, didn't play a lot,
and I don't know that anybody else had like
because Ozigbo in 2018 had 1,000.
Yeah.
But okay, let's pull it up here as we do this, because I guess my line of thinking with that was trying to quantify a way to gauge the running back productivity.
Yards per rush?
Okay, so here we go. Dedrick Mills gained, I don't think they did. They did not. Mills had 418 yards on the season.
Wandale
had 252. And then, you know, Marvin Scott had 71. Ramir Johnson, 34. They didn't have a collective, combined.
It's like 800 yards.
So, but you know what's weird is Nebraska's rushing numbers
McCaffrey and Martinez carried the ball a ton as quarterbacks.
Yeah, because Martinez ran for 600 yards and McCaffrey ran for 432. So
that's
quarterback's
your 1,000. Your quarterbacks took the 1,000.
And your running backs need to get 1,000. The reason that's I hesitated on having like one 1,000-yard rusher is because, you know, like we said, I don't know if there's anybody that we feel like is for sure that dude this year. Like,
I think there's four or five guys that can play right now, and none of them are clear.
No. Like, I think Gabe Irvin's potentially.
They're all young. It's Irvin. It's that Jacquez Yan.
Yeah.
It's maybe Morrison, maybe the Marquis Step. Like, it's four or five guys plus Marvin Scott. Like, you go.
But I think we'd agree. I don't think it makes the top. I think we'd agree. The top three are turnover margin, red zone offense, average starting field position.
Yeah.
But things like 1,000-yard rusher or rushing total from your running backs, like, it's got to be there.
It's up there, but I think the ones that we initially said still feel strongest.
Okay, so you feel good about that?
We're good.
All right. Thank God I slammed on the brakes while riding my bike.
Oh, my God.
Another time that I went, Now, you got to be careful. You got to check who's behind you, because you don't want to slam on the brakes and then, you know, get rear-ended on the... What happened to you, man? I got rear-ended on the bike path. I had to slam on the brakes to write down turnover margin.
Really amazing thought.
It was 1993. Underrated in the 90s. But, okay. This is like a scatterbrained one. You ready?
Okay.
What I wrote down, this season is so exciting to digest for Nebraska football. And I wrote down a handful of reasons, beyond just the fact that it's Nebraska football and we freaking love it, right? The first thing I wrote down was year four is a good enough amount of time for recruiting, strength and conditioning, and culture to start to show. Not saying it's completed and there and it's a machine now.
Yeah.
But year four, recruiting, strength and conditioning, and culture, to me, all those things go from an excuse to not, do you still feel like you can use those things as where they're still trying to strength and conditioning. They're still trying to instill their culture. Do you think when we're doing recap pods 2 months from now, we're going to be playing those cards?
Not like we used to. I think because the reality is that we go, well, we know where they've missed, right? We know where the misses have been. But the things like, we're not big enough. We're not strong enough. We're not those things. I think you can't say that anymore, right?
Right.
It's more like, and you can't say, it's going to take a while before we get disciplined. It's a matter of maybe we missed on some positions and we don't have the horses there, but things penalties and turnovers and the things that you can control more. Those things are not going to be excused as easily this year.
Well, and maybe that ties into the second thing I wrote down is this coaching staff and Frost, they know the issues. They know the issues. Now, once you know the issues, they should be addressed. Not saying they should be fixed. Not saying that now that you know special teams needs to get better. I'm not expecting special teams to be the best in the country, but it's just like anything else. Once you know, I got to work on this, this, and this, the next time whoever's in charge of you checks in on those things, those areas should be addressed. So
Nebraska fans are going to be looking for progress.
Right.
The word is progress. If they don't see progress and they see the same bad mistakes, you're going to see a lot of people looking around.
But
visibly frustrated.
But isn't that good, though? Because you could make a case that Frost, when he showed up in 2018, he didn't know about certain problems, right? Yeah. No one goes into a thing like, man, I know we are terrible at this, this, and this, but whatever. Sometimes you think, as a coach, sometimes you don't know until you get out there and play a season and be like, man, I thought we were good enough here. We are not.
Yeah.
Or I thought this, what we did in practice to address this was enough. It is not. Yeah. So I also think that makes it fun that when this coaching staff started putting together practice plans and points of emphasis for spring ball and fall camp, they know exactly what the problems have been. So I think that's exciting in the sense of if you know what the problems are, it's going to be fun to be able to kind of track the progress. Again, let me make sure I'm not expecting all of them to get fixed immediately.
You just want to see special teams not be the worst in the country.
Right. Just don't be the worst in the country.
Yeah.
So I wrote, Frost knows the issues. The other thing I wrote down are two basic things, but what makes this season fun is, you got a 4-year starter at quarterback. That should eliminate a lot of any excuses of growing pains or whatever. You got to give this guy an opportunity to get comfortable within the offense. He doesn't know the reads or whatever. When you have a 4-year starter at quarterback, it removes a lot of the, I don't want to call them excuses, but it removes a lot of the other, I guess they're kind of excuses that you can point to
inexperience, maybe. You got plenty of experience. For me, actually, I feel it's been an under the radar talking point, but the fact is Adrian, he's giving me more comfort than he's giving me, a reason to wiggle. Right. I feel pretty good about the fact that he hasn't lived up to maybe the hype that we thought he was going to be, but I also don't feel bad that that's my quarterback going into the season. Right.
Right.
I feel like it could be a lot worse, right? This
right.
guy has some skills. He's got a good looking throw. And he looks better than I think he's ever looked. From the way he moved in spring, I was like, he looks like a different guy in that. So I have some, I'm decently optimistic about Adrian going into this year. I mean, I'm not getting,
me too.
I'm not blowing it out of proportion here, but like, he's a four-year starter who's got enough talent, and he's in good shape. He seems in a good place mentally. Like, what's not to feel decent about?
The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by my good friends at Runza. Everybody that knows my athletic background, you know, I was a quarterback in high school. But, you know, I believe in establishing the run game. And even more than that, I believe in establishing the Runza game. That's an original Runza cheeseburger, some onion rings double-dipped in a homemade batter, little bit of a pop to top it off. You know, in football, you establish a run. But at lunch, you establish the Runza. It's just that simple. So get out to Runza today and establish the Runza game, or check out the delicious salads. You got the chicken bacon ranch salad, sweet berry chicken salad, and my personal favorite, the Southwest chicken salad. You got to get out to Runza, establish a Runza game, or get a salad. Either way, you are going to leave satisfied. Runza makes it all better. Right? I thought Sip made a great point on the radio. He was doing on Sportsman Iconic, who's filling in. And he was like, you know, the fan base does this weird thing, and it's and Martinez isn't the first one, but they do this thing where everybody will act like they don't believe in Martinez. But then the idea, like if Martinez were to go down for the season, they they're done.
That's what you know is like if Martinez, I think there was an April Fool's where like he transferred and I about fell out of my chair. I was
another point.
Legitimately, my heart went to my stomach and I went, oh no, we're toast. But then all of a sudden, as a joke, I'm like, we still got hope. Like,
well, that's the thing.
That's where he is to us.
It's funny you say that. He goes. Everybody wants to say they don't think Adrian Martinez is very good. But he goes, if let's say in April or March, Adrian Martinez would have announced that he's entering the transfer portal, he goes, this state would have shut down. It would have completely shut down. Yeah. So it's kind of like, well, what is it? Is the guy, you know, everybody wants to be like, oh, I don't know about Martinez, man. Well, okay.
But then we have a level of trust with him that's higher than you think. Right. So I would ask you this. How many of the Big Ten quarterbacks would you take over Martinez right now? I don't even know necessarily.
I have to
who
go
they
through.
Are.
As I mean, like.
Okay, I'm thinking about the Iowa guy who's.
Petras, no.
And I'm not
Tanner Morgan?
Petras. No.
Minnesota? I don't think I would.
I mean, whoever Ohio State has, probably yes.
Yeah, I would take. I just think I'd blindly say Ohio State's starting quarterback, I will take.
But Michigan's quarterback, I'm going, they don't necessarily have the answer right
Brandon
now.
Peters at Illinois?
No.
I don't think so. A guy named Noah Vedral at Rutgers. I mean, Martinez beat him out.
He's beat him out. He's fighting for a spot up there.
Sean Clifford at Penn State.
Clifford's back again?
Yeah. He's back.
He got benched last year.
I know. I mean, I'm looking at Michigan State's quarterback, Anthony Daniel LaRusso.
Daniel LaRusso?
Daniel LaRusso is back. Yeah, Michigan, no. Like, so, I mean, to your point, like, you just go through.
That's
I mean, you
the,
get to.
That's you, the, like, when you start, like, it's weird, like, people are kind of like.
He stinks! It's like, okay, well.
If you were to take him away is what tells you how you'd actually feel about him.
I mean.
Like, I think it's.
Well, that's it. I mean, you look at, I mean. Graham Mertz at Wisconsin, he had a decent year, small sample size, but like...
But what's Mertz going to do here? You know what I mean? Like, I think Adrian's more mobile. So
now everything's relative to the situation. You know, like when you're got 45 minutes to catch a flight and there's a Chick-fil-A or a Long John Silver's, Chick-fil-A looks pretty good. But... you feel me?
I like it.
Chick-fil-A! You gotta ask yourself what makes you slam on the brakes in this world, Bo.
I need to start slamming the brakes.
Apparently,
whether
I'm
you're riding a bike or driving a car, we should all be thinking and slamming brakes.
Do you have any sort of like? I just need to get on my bike and just go.
Oh, when I
when
walk,
you go, you just
when I walk, Nick.
Does that brain start? Rolling?
So I usually, I'll find, you know, I'll play some music.
Yeah,
and I mean, I'm usually, I walk for an hour to hour and a half, and like, I will, like, the things I think about, I'm like, where did those
come? It's great. Oh, I'm telling you, I get the best ideas when I'm just, when I'm out on my bike riding around. The other thing I wrote down was just a senior laden experienced defense with the arrow trending up. Like, that's exciting. Like, yeah. They got better. The arrow is trending up. They returned 9 starters. They're all, it's not like they're returning 9 guys that were freshmen a year ago. These are all older, experienced dudes.
Yeah.
I mean, when you think about, like, the reports that Henrich had a great spring, and you can couple Henrich with Reimer and
Kovalerik,
and like, I mean, I think Ty Robinson has a chance to have a pretty damn good year. I mean, what is, like, if is
we're
I mean,
missing a pass
look,
rusher?
Look who's on the cover of this thing, dog.
Cam Juice.
That's a cool. Like, let's be honest.
Yeah, Cam. I mean, Cam's our
a
guy.
Cool dude, man.
To me, it's like the Cam, Deonte Williams. And Dismuke, I mean, those guys, that right there is, you know, it's a veteran secondary.
It's a veteran secondary.
Which is like, I think once you got like a secondary you really feel comfortable with, for this defense, because they probably have to blitz more, that's big that we got the secondary. Because we don't have the pass rusher yet. So therefore, we got to probably blitz a little bit more.
Let me, because I might have been podcasting this conversation. That's why it sparked it. I was listening to Sip and Josh Peterson talk about this, and Josh made the point, and I want to throw it at you, and you can, I think you'll make the point for me. He was like, you know, he was like, well, could you make the case like this group was only a top, you know, they weren't a top 30 defense, and the whole defense comes back. Why do we automatically assume, like, the whole thing, like, the good news is everybody's back. The bad news is everybody's back. Explain to people how much, like, why experience makes a difference, and why experience, like, where specifically experience can make this group that wasn't a top 30 defense potentially become a top 30 defense.
I always, to me, like, going through this where, you know, I started for 3 years. I played a little bit as a redshirt freshman. I played all special teams, and I ended up getting on the field as a redshirt freshman, just like, yep, thrown out there, right? But as a redshirt freshman, everything moves fast. You just barely know what you're doing on defense. And just think, every single year, everything slows down a little bit. You've seen more. You've had 1,000 more reps. The next year, you get a little, like, you just get better. You get, yes, stronger. And then the people you go against get younger and weaker.
Right.
And all of a sudden, it gets easier. Because of that, you go, well, I've seen this. This looks like the play I saw last year that this happens. And, you know, like, it just becomes an easier route to success because, right, you've seen it before. You're stronger, you're bigger, you're faster. And, like, you just, you know how the game is played. So those things all become easier just over time.
Right. And I think the sometimes the most paralyzing thing is the element of the unknown.
Yeah.
And when that is kind of eliminated, like, by the time you're a senior, Bo, like, what really could have been thrown at you that you hadn't really seen? Not to say there's any formation or situation, but for the most part, nothing that's going to make you pee your pants.
No, and you just, like, your confidence is up because, right, you're stronger, like, you're bigger, and you just know, like, you see the angles, you see, like, what's going on, and you can anticipate more. Like, I always believe, like, the more you know and the more experience you have, the more you can anticipate.
Okay.
Versus react.
Okay, you hold anticipate. On. That's a great, because some people have wondered, okay, how is this team going to force more turnovers without finding an elite pass rusher? You're a perfect example of this, because if you check the record books, you're all over it. I was doing this with Kenny Bell. I was trying to research his name's, like, Kenny was all, I mean, Kenny was a unbelievable in terms of his all the records that he set. But, like,
yeah,
you have a lot of records in terms of interceptions, pick sixes, all those things. And you had an anticipation it thing with you. But some of it was maybe knowledge, feel, all that, yeah, stuff. Like, maybe a way, to your point, that this group creates more turnovers is through knowledge. And knowledge allows you to play faster. Knowledge allows you to take more chances. Knowledge allows you to anticipate things where you can kind of run through a pass or, yeah, you know what, right?
I'm going to make a prediction here, okay? I don't know what our record's going to be. I don't know how good our defense is going to be. I will guarantee you we'll get more interceptions, forced fumbles, and turnovers from our secondary and our linebackers than we did last year.
Right.
I will put it out there right now. That's my prediction. I mean, obviously, it's a shortened season. We'll have
but
a
few more games. Right.
But I think it's going to be I can't imagine these guys in the secondary aren't good, because they didn't get that many interceptions last year.
No.
They really didn't. And our linebackers didn't have – I don't know if they had any. I just think these guys this year are going to have a – they're going to have the experience. They're going to have the wherewithal to be like, now is my time to make the plays. They're gonna be able to anticipate a little bit more. They're going to make more plays.
Take me – so you had three pick sixes?
Yes.
Right? Maine, Nevada, Ball State.
Iowa State,
Ball State.
Yeah.
What would you chalk those? Were those just like because you're you and you had like a feel? Or was there like, as you were trotting off the field, were you kind of like, man, I got that because I knew, I saw something in film or... You know what I'm getting at? Like, the answer can be like, I just had a feel for making the play.
So I think sometimes it's just you make play. I don't know that, I mean, there's times you make plays.
Right.
That you make plays because you're like, hey, I know what I'm doing. And that's why I'm, like, there was a few that I was like, I've made that play because I freaking just, I know what they were going to run and I just went to it.
Right.
But like other plays are just like, you have the confidence and ability to make the play
right
in the moment, right? When the opportunity comes, can you make the play? Some guys can't. Some guys
right.
always miss. But if you're a person that has like the ability and the confidence and there's an opportunity, you got to make it.
Right.
Right.
Well, I guess this conversation, I never know. That's why I like talking to you, because I never know that, like, I didn't think that I'd feel better about this team's ability to get turnovers. But, like, it makes sense. Like, if you...
Cam Deontay Dismuke. This is like
Reimer, Henrich,
like those guys. I can't imagine them not making more plays than they did. Because last year we just didn't take the ball away that much. We just really didn't. We played pretty solid defense,
right?
But we didn't take the ball away. Now this is the next step for these guys,
right? And a way to do that outside of Sue pressuring you instantly when the ball snap is feel,
yeah,
anticipation, knowledge, experience.
Yeah, it helps.
Being able to play
it
faster.
Will help those guys if the defensive line can put pressure to force bad throws
sure.
and things. But in the end, I think just from experience, they should have more success.
The other thing I did, and I was going to save this topic for you, but I needed content because this time of year can be tough, so I ended up doing it for a solo pod.
Yeah.
Something I used to always do was I would, when I was in radio, I would take Nebraska's schedule and I'd rank the games easiest game to hardest
mm-hmm.
game. I got a little bit of pushback from whether emailers or even my nephew Bodie was like, I disagree that this game's like we were at our lake house talking about it. It was great. I put at Oklahoma as the toughest game on the schedule.
That was where my mind went.
So the question, like, I was going to ask you, I put at Oklahoma as the toughest game. Is Ohio State at home a tougher game than that? Or do you still think it's, I still think it's at Oklahoma.
I think at Oklahoma. I think at Ohio State's two.
Okay. Do you want me to just give, so.
Yeah, go down.
You want me to go down?
Yep.
Okay, so I'm going to go from easiest to hardest. Ready?
Yep.
Easiest. Fordham.
Yep.
Buffalo.
Yep, probably.
Purdue at home.
Keep going. I want to see where we go from there. The
thing is crazy about this exercise is all of a sudden, boom, it's a fucking conference
game.
You know what I mean?
Like,
you're right in the Big Ten. You're like, wow. So it feels disrespectful and crazy to put like Purdue, but okay, but let me keep going.
That means you're thinking Illinois is better than Purdue. So yeah, keep going.
I have at Michigan State.
Okay.
Then I have at Illinois.
Do we have any home games?
Okay. Fordham, Buffalo, Purdue. I have three home games.
Those are all
three
home. Okay.
Easiest. Okay.
Yep. Okay.
Then at Michigan State, at Illinois. Then I put at Minnesota.
God, Minnesota's already there. Okay, keep going.
And then I have Northwestern at home. So would you think, is Northwestern at home, who won the division last year, pushed Ohio State? You can poo-poo them if you want, but like, now they lose a decent amount. They lose their Patty Fisher. Their good linebacker's gone. Would you say...
I would switch with Minnesota just because I think Minnesota and Northwestern have both played us tough.
And one's on the road and one's at home?
One's at the road and one's at home.
So I gave a little too much respect for Northwestern and what they had done a year ago. I struggle with that one.
I think they had some... I mean, they had a couple guys go in the first couple rounds of the draft. NFL draft, which is unique for them. And like guys like Patty Fisher and stuff. Like those guys were a bigger part of that success than I think we give credit. So I think Northwestern, they seem to do that.
So you'd flip-flop though. You'd flip-flop Minnesota, Northwestern. But what about Purdue at Michigan State at Illinois? Do you like my order?
I'm fine there.
The reason I put Illinois at Illinois is tougher than at Michigan State is because it's the first game of the season.
Yeah.
So first road game.
Yep.
Now, there's a variety. I mean, they beat Nebraska last year. Bielema's the new coach, but like...
Michigan State, I have no feel for what Michigan... They beat Michigan last year, and then they sucked some game. They were all over the place. So I don't have a feel for them right now.
Okay, this is where it gets crazy. So for the next... Then I have Michigan at home, and then Iowa at home. I had the Iowa game at home harder than the Michigan game at home. Do you agree or disagree with that?
I think we struggle more with elite talent, and Michigan is elite talent.
So Iowa, would you flip those?
I would flip those because Iowa, we played damn close. We played Michigan. They kicked our ass.
Bo, Iowa, you know what's weird is if you really think about the three Iowa games under Frost, they could have won all three.
They pissed them away is what they did. And
Iowa doesn't have like, I like their run. I think Goodson, I think their running back's a good player.
I think they've got good receivers.
I think
they've
got good receivers. I think, I don't think the quarterback's very good. I mean, Golston was a good DN for them that they lost for Iowa. But I struggle with that one. I struggle with the Michigan. I struggle with at Minnesota and Northwestern, and then I struggle with Michigan and Iowa.
I think for us, I don't know.
I projected the division thing and being like, this is a more important game, and some reason that like
it's more important. Yeah. But I would say for us, I think we struggled historically with the teams that are like, hey, guess what? We got all these 5-star guys.
Yeah,
it shows up against us maybe more than like Northwestern Michigan does. Like, I don't know what it is about us that like,
right.
I think we have maybe more physical talent than like, I don't know. I think we've struggled against.
I can understand that. I think Michigan's a hard team to get a feel for right now, yeah. But, and then I had at Wisconsin, Ohio State and at Oklahoma as the three hardest games. Would you agree?
I would agree.
Those are the three toughest.
Yes.
Okay, so but I mean, I think for the most part, other than the middle part, so you would have
Minnesota,
Northwestern in terms of easiest to hardest. You would have Northwestern at Minnesota, Iowa, Michigan.
Yes,
that.
So we're Minnesota and Michigan are our two flips between us, and it's. I mean, we don't know what they are, but.
But I do think, because some people are like, you really think Oklahoma? I'm like, listen, Oklahoma's going to be preseason top 5 team. It's a road game, and there's no familiarity there. Like, at least you'd seen Ohio State. Like, you haven't seen Oklahoma. And they have, I mean, Spencer Rattler's a really good quarterback. Like, yeah. They're going to have...
They have a more veteran quarterback. That's the thing. It's like, the more veteran quarterback, I mean, they're top 3 or 5, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's on the road. It's a tougher game to me. But early in the season for us too. I mean,
I always think this exercise though is like, I've done this in years where I'm like, man, this schedule is not as hard as you think it is. But then like, this is crazy when you get past Fordham and Buffalo. It's like you're putting Purdue at home.
Yeah, and here's what's weird. Teams like Ohio State and Oklahoma, I think you want to play them smack dab in like the 8th game of the year. That's when you right. want to play them, when they're a little worn down. You don't want to play them the first major game of the year or the last game of the year.
Right.
Because those are the most talented teams, and when the most talented teams get up are those games. You right. want those guys when they're like, ah, well, oh, man, this is like eight games in. I'm ready for my like bye week. That's you want them the week before the bye week. That's when I would want Ohio State or
and
Oklahoma.
Here's the scary thing about Oklahoma. So their first two games of the season
Meatloaf
are nothing
State.
Burgers.
Yeah.
It's Meatloaf it's at State. Tulane. Now, how that game's going, but they're at Tulane, then they have Western Carolina. So they are going, all of a sudden, here comes the first real squad. They're Oklahoma's going to be so fucking juiced up for that game.
Yeah, they will. Game of the century, man.
That game is
50th anniversary.
I still think, like, do you subscribe to the school of thought? I've heard some people throw out there, like, just this Illinois game, how important it is. Like, Sip has acted like, at times, like he feels like that game's going to shape the whole year. Like, if they go lose at Illinois, things could get real treacherous. But if they go win that game, things could, like, do you feel like...
It's basically... To go into Oklahoma 3-0, I think, sets such a different tone than if we... Because it's going to be a hard game to win. So, like,
but if you're 3-0 and you got a road win at, not say Illinois is a will, but like, you went on the road, won a conference game, like,
it would.
You kind of go swing away. Not say you're playing with house money there, but like.
Here's the thing is like, it puts us in a tougher place for the rest of the year. It really does. It's sad that it feels like it's that important, but man, it feels like it's important.
Yeah. Brutal. But. Okay, I wanted to bounce that off you because I wasn't sure what you thought. Two more things, I'll let you go. This name, image, likeness stuff, we've talked about it a ton, but I saw someone put it neatly. I think we both agree, like, I'm for it. Like, I guess, you know, like, I think it's hard to argue from a what's fair and what's right standpoint. Like, to deny someone the right to, like, make money off themselves just feels, like, wrong. And... it also is like, it's hard to call it amateur when, you know, coaches are making $5, $10 million. Media rights are going for $1 billion. It's hard to call it amateur. I think I saw this special on Vice with Jeremy Bloom. Did you play against Jeremy Bloom?
He was out right before I was there, I think,
But he was like the host of it, and he was interviewing a bunch of people, and he interviewed Arian Foster. And Arian Foster is like, here's the thing. If I'm amateur, then my coach is amateur.
Yeah.
So why is he making... $5 million and I'm making
it doesn't make
so it doesn't make any sense. But I think we both like I think you're with me in like for those people that have been pushing for this revolution in college sports, they better have answers for the thousands of questions they've created now. Because I just don't know. Like you're telling me it's just open season, like have at it. Go ahead. The Nick Bob Podcast is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors, and I want to talk to you guys about energy efficiency. And if you go onto Pella's website right now, you look at it, and how about this? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 different types of windows or doors by Pella won the Energy Star 2020 Most Energy Efficient Award. That's big time stuff right there. And they achieved that in a couple of ways. They got insulated glass, which slows the heat transfer, keeping your home at a more comfortable temperature. They got types of low E glass, which is a glass coating that has been optimized for your climate. They got triple pane glass, which you can upgrade to for increased insulating airspace. And within all of that, one of the keys is proper installation, which is key for window and doors to perform at their best. And you know the Pella experts are excellent at that. Bottom line, energy efficiency matters in making your home more comfortable, and Pella windows and doors are at the top of the line when it comes to energy efficiency. Check them out online, PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com.
Our whole thing was like, I know we said this, is like, I really believe it's like, it could be a moment of like over, you know, people get, you know, gung-ho with what they think's possible, and then it will level out, like the whole like, people are going to pay these people millions of, like, no, they won't.
No, they
because
won't.
They'll pay some recruit to come and he'll flame out and they'll go, that was the worst $1 million I've ever spent.
Right.
And they'll never do it again. So there could be a moment of excess. I think those things will level out and then there'll be sort of a market and the market will be like, really good players make $150,000 a year-ish. Some make more, some make less, but most people make fucking, $30,000. I always apologize when I use
You do
bad
not need
language.
To apologize for that. But no, so you and I are in lockstep. I think we greatly... Now, I think the first couple of years we could see a, you know, a flooding of the market. But like, I think I think we over-exaggerate how much money these guys are actually going to make.
Because you got to ask yourself, if you're the business owner, are you happy losing money, like lots of money every year to sponsor some kid that you don't know if they're going to play well or not? Like, it's
who on this year's team do you think really has any, like Adrian Martinez, Cam Taylor, Britt, Ben Stilley?
Who's paying Ben Stilley $50,000? Nobody.
I mean, like,
you might get like the car dealership might say, like, here's $1,000, but that's not $1 million. Like, right. You understand, $1,000 is chump change, right?
Right.
Like, big time advertising deals are hundreds of thousands, millions of dollars with these pro athletes. Like, they're not going to get that.
I don't think they are either.
The top guy, if you're Trevor Lawrence, you get it.
Right. Or you're Doug McDermott his senior year. You're Luca Garza at Iowa last year. You're Zion at Duke. You got it.
Those guys are getting paid. You know, JoJo Doman's getting $5,000.
Yeah.
Great job.
Right. Like, which is, you know, I mean, listen, that's fine. You know?
Take it. You deserve it.
I mean, shit, $5,000 when you're 22 years old is like, you might as well be like the richest guy in the world, you know?
When I was in college, you were living off of your scholarship check. And like, when you got it, you were like, that's like, you know, $800 seemed like, oh my God, that's a lot.
We would work camps in the summer for basketball and get, you know, a couple $100 or like, you'd work two or three camps. Like when I'd work the College World Series.
Yeah.
For ESPN, basically being a little like, you know, a runt, you know, like, hey, go take the trash out, go clean the bases with like a brush. And I would make like, for 2 weeks of work, I'd make like almost $2,000.
Seemed like
it. And you would have, I mean, I was like, I am set for life.
Yeah. And that's the part where I actually think like as a college kid, like if you, okay, like I remember like, you know, they sold a decent amount of my jerseys my senior year. And like, let's say I made $5,000 or $10,000 off of it. I'm living large for college, right? Like that'd be amazing. So I think that's what you get, right? And the guys that really, you know, the Eric Crouches, you know, Eric
Crouch,
they're
gonna get a lot of money.
You win the Heisman, you're having a Heisman and season. I mean, you know what? Fine. Maybe you make $250,000, $500,000.
Right.
But you deserve it because you know how much money.
Right.
You won the Heisman, you brought in a couple extra $1 million. Right. Like you deserve your cut for doing that work.
Do you think people will have a hard time in the locker room if they know like if in the locker room Cam Taylor Britt's making $100,000, do you think Dismuke and, you know, they're all feeling some type of way about that? Or Samari Torre is making $75,000, but Omar Manning's making $500. Like, do you think there could be, because some people have thrown that out there? Like,
there'll be some of that. But just think about the NFL. It's like, are you mad at Tom Brady for making $20 million? Like, you're not really mad at him.
Well, that, yeah.
But here's what happens, right? There's going to be way more like, well, I got to get mine, right? Yeah. So there'll be more dancing. There'll be more social media tweeting.
Everything's going to be.
There'll be more like, look at me promote myself. Because the more eyeballs you can get on you, the more money you can make, right? So these guys are going to be pumping themselves up when they get the opportunity. So a lot, I mean, like celebrations, like, if they could measure celebrations, I'm telling you, watch that next.
Well, year. I just think like you've seen it now. Like people will, I think on the Big Red Blitz tour, I don't know if Frost asked it or someone basically asked all the fans, "Hey, go follow our players on social media."
I think it was Travis Fisher.
Maybe it was go follow all of our players on.
It makes a
huge difference because you talk like guys like Blake Lawrence, who you know, his company Open Doors, like that's their whole thing. Is monetizing athletes' social media platforms into making money.
I'll tell you what, like if you're listening to this and you're a Nebraska fan and you are on social media,
right.
Follow every one of our players follow, every recruit that is trying to go here that we like, it's a big time recruit that like you sort of see the stamp of approval, like that guy's actually good. Like if Nebraska is messaging them, the fans are in liking it, like, we live in a world where that matters now. I mean, I as a recruit, I think that's stupid, but like, it matters. I would encourage people to do it because it will. We could separate ourselves as a school if for some reason it's like, well, the irrational Nebraska fans are so good that they bring in recruits.
Well, that's the thing too. It's like I think this is gonna help a place like Nebraska.
How could it not? I mean, that's why we should be leaders in it.
Well, because like, you know, maybe this doesn't, I'm trying to think of the right, like, no matter what, in Los Angeles, USC's tight end is just not as big a deal as Anthony Davis.
No.
And in Illinois, Northwestern or Illinois' defensive backs or wide receivers are just not as big a deal as the Bears running back or the Cubs shortstop or the Bulls center. Like the fact that like in a place like Nebraska, like the NFL quarterback is Adrian Martinez.
To me, it's like I would love to see other states. I bet you Alabama would probably compare to us. That like the Grand, if you go to Grand Island, and it's like the car dealership there will pay Adrian Martinez $5,000 to just put his stamp on. Like they'll be, that's what we'll have. That like you go to, you know, freaking Northwestern. It's like how many Northwestern people in Chicago are
really
actually like
about this
are willing to dish out for the, you know, Patty Fisher, like just not near the volume or the passion there, and the willingness.
Because even in like the state of Ohio and the city of Cleveland, you can try to tug at those heartstrings, but it's like they're more into, some of those people are more into Baker Mayfield, and they're more into, you know, the Cleveland Cavaliers or the Cleveland Indians or whatever. They just are.
Yeah,
so
we're a shop town here, and it's like
it's gonna make a difference.
I think it plays
to
us,
but it
our
is
advantage.
Crazy to think that like that in the recruiting process, and then even for people that transfer, they after say this year Thomas Fedoni be like, hey man, Oklahoma State is telling me that I'm gonna make $100,000 if I go on my name, image, and likeness to go there, so I'm gonna go there.
Yeah,
or a recruit set like. Well, Nebraska's telling me I'm going to make 40, but Auburn's saying I'm going to make 70. So then it's like, well, then what are we like? Then all of a sudden you're in this place where it's like, you know what that's called? That's called professional sports, pretty
it's professional.
Much.
I mean,
here, you know what I mean? Like here, that's kind of where we can dress it up how we want.
Yeah,
but that's what like when recruits' final decisions, one of the things they're thinking about is money attached. Let's just call it like it is. Like
so the big I remember the hubbub when this first came out was like the T. Boone Pickens of the world.
Right.
Let's say there's a
Phil
Silicon
Knight.
Yeah, the Silicon Valley, like I'm gonna made $1 billion off of Apple because I invest, you know, it's like. And those guys decide to rationally, like, I'm going to spend $50 million on the best player. Like, that's always been the worry. But, like, I just don't see anybody spending that kind of money.
I don't either.
NFL owners don't do that. But the reality is if somebody would, it'd be kind of the grand experiment. Like, if somebody was willing to be like, I'm willing to lose $50 million because I love sports.
Well,
like that, because you're losing. For them, you got to remember, it's not an investment.
It's a loss.
It's a loss. And that's the part that people don't understand. They're not getting anything back other than like some bizarre enjoyment out of it.
Well, here's one thing I thought about. The team that like could, why wouldn't Phil Knight at Oregon with Nike not just basically take a portion of their advertising budget that they use for endorsements for and just put it into a fund and say, between the Oregon football team and the Oregon men's basketball team, here is... Pick a number, $5 million. Let's go, or a hey. Which is a drop in the bucket to them.
Yeah,
and say this is the pool of money for endorsements for Oregon athletes. And then, but here's where it's maybe not a loss is if you get enough good players because of that, then Oregon. That's the thing that the dealership and they don't get like.
Yeah.
So they spend $1 million on so and so, like it's not like a reoccurring
Nike
thing.
Nike can get that later when they turn pro and they sign with Nike,
or they get it because they start winning championships.
Yeah, that's the part where I think like Oregon's got a great.
I think Oregon's got a huge advantage.
Maryland and Under Armour, they have that thing where Under Armour's kind of like semi struggling to compete against the Nikes and the Adidas. It's like. This might be their thing. We're like, let's just go gung ho.
I don't know if I'm
you pay $1 million to the best 22 players in the country every year, and you say, okay, is it worth $22 million a year to just make Under Armour this like behemoth thing in college football?
Why wouldn't Under, if you're Under Armour, why not go to Maryland basketball and just say, here's $2 million?
Well, I don't think they can't go through the school. They have to, it has to be outside of the school.
But there are ways for that to be.
I mean, you just
done.
Say,
you know what I mean? Like,
can't you just do it like,
can't you just say, like, if you're Mark Turgeon at Maryland, say, like, you come here, that guy over there, yes, is, when you get here, we're going to put you in contact. Now, maybe all this is violation, but, like, how is, like, who's monitoring? Like, I just feel like all these things are, like.
There's a way to say, like, because this or that can sponsor you or use your, and they can pay you what they want. And if it comes through Under Armour, through something, it's like, it's, tell me, it's like, it's hard to, you could, there's ways around it, I'm sure. But to me, it's like, that is what, you know, if you're Under Armour or Nike, like, you have, it's a moment,
it's a
where
big,
like,
advantage.
You're telling me they're not like, oh my gosh, we got to do something here.
Cause you're already paying, you know, certain schools an amount of, a certain, you know, Adidas pays Nebraska X amount of money to be
a lot of money,
you know? So like, There are ways to, I've even thought, like, some of these don't, whatever money was raised for this $155 million facility at Nebraska.
Yeah.
Various businesses that, owners that raised $155 million facility.
The Howard Hawks of the world, right?
Like, right. Okay, maybe next time they're thinking about doing that, like.
20 goes to just.
Why don't, 20 goes to football. Why doesn't Howard Hawks, whoever, get together with their businesses and say, okay, like, you know what I mean? Like, but this is where we're,
well, I think
these are the things I'm thinking about.
Here's, like, the hard part is, I think those donations can be tax deductible.
Right.
Where if
this
you,
doesn't.
If you spend them on buying off players, it, I think they go, we can't write that off, can we? Like,
no.
Then it's a loss, and then it goes.
It
to
is, but
I
think if all the people got together, I just think there's a way. These are the things I'm thinking about. I don't have all this. Like, I'm just talking out loud after a full bottle of wine here, like trying to.
Yeah.
Like, these are the things that, like, again, like I started. It's like, I hope the people that have been calling for the Jay Billises of the world,
yeah,
who I love. I mean, I love Jay, but like, who have been calling for this revolution, like, you just open Pandora's box.
Yeah, and I haven't read the details of what they're going to allow or not allow. I just know
either.
Name, image, likeness. They can get paid outside.
And
but
what is that going
to
look like?
And there's going to be some Wild Westness to the start of it that I think I'm excited. I actually, it will be a fun experiment. I hope it normalizes and it's no big deal because I don't want it to ruin the game.
I don't either.
But it's kind of, it might be fun for the first year to be like,
see
what
what's happening.
Right. Somebody's going to get paid $1 million and that will be the fun, be like, look what happened.
What happened here, yeah, you know? But the combination of the name, image, likeness, the one free transfer, like, all coming in ahead, it's going to make things make for an interesting, a very, very interesting couple of years here. Okay, last thing, real quick. I don't know if you and I have ever really talked about this. What's your ideal college football playoff number? Because you hear that the committee has proposed moving to 12, having buys for the top four seeds. Do you have...
I think... I mean, I always thought 8 was a good number.
That was my number.
For Nebraska, 12. 8 would be probably the best watchable. 12 gets Nebraska. Nebraska needs that to get in. Like,
right.
I think they can get in if they're 12.
Did you kind of feel like the whole time, when it was at 4, I kind of felt like it was just always going to be a long shot for them to be able to get into the playoff?
Then they'd have to truly win and go
undefeated.
They'd
have to run the table, yeah, and win the Big Ten title.
Now they can win the West, have a great year, get in it, you know.
You could go, they could go.
They go 10
and 2. They could go 11-1, 10-2.
And get in
and
12.
Maybe get in.
Yeah. You can win the West, go 10-2 and have a good season, lose to Ohio State and Michigan or something and get in.
Yeah. And so do you think, I've heard some people question, like, playing 15, 16, 17 games. How do you feel about that?
It's too much.
Like, do you feel like that should be... Because some people have talked about how that, like, it's ridiculous that they're going to make these kids play 15, 16, 17 games.
It is. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Right.
It's just... I mean, that's where it's like... there's a reason to pay him. It's like, well, you're beating the crap out of their body.
Right.
I mean, it's 16,
right.
17. I mean, that's an NFL season. Like, and that's too long. I mean, I just think it's a lot. But you know what? Like, that's maybe why they should be getting the people that are going to get paid are probably the people that are going to be in this,
right.
in these games. I mean, if you play for Marshall, like, I don't know what you're getting paid, but not much.
Well, and the thing that, you know, some people have said, you know, the people that are anti, I just feel like, I feel like a lot of college football people have Stockholm syndrome with how horrible college football's postseason and crowning of a champion really has been forever.
Yeah,
like, we used to have a poll. Like, sometimes I think about, remember Scott Frost's impassioned speech after the Orange Bowl in 97?
Yeah, like,
he's politicking
the
for the national championship.
There used to be three national champions.
Think about that.
Yeah.
Think about, like, the two Final Four games happen, and after the game, Jalen Suggs bank shot. He has to come out and be like, I think we're the I think we should be the ones.
We deserve it. Not like, the other people that didn't win the championship.
Like, imagine playing a game that you don't even know if, like, is this the national championship or is it not? It's only the national championship if this team wins. If this team loses, then it's not. Like, I just don't think, for a while we had a computer formula spit it out. Like, I don't think people have understood how terrible the way college football has crowned a champion has been for forever.
Yeah, it sort of evolved strangely from a place where it was just like, you wonder how, like, they never just said, like, here's how we do it in 1950. Right. From now on, it's a tournament. Because everything else is always a tournament that declares a winner.
Because some people say, well, you know, I mean, you really think Cincinnati's going to beat Clemson? I mean, no. I don't, like, if those two teams play,
yeah.
Who am I betting on? I'm betting on Clemson. But, like, it could happen.
It'll be fun to watch.
It'd be fun to watch. And, like, it could happen. That's a part of it.
Well, every one seed in the NCAA tournament that's ever lost or two seed, it's like that's what's so fun about
right.
it. Is it like...
It could happen.
Yeah.
Oral Roberts, 15 seed, beat Ohio State this year. UMBC, 16 seed, beat Virginia, one seed. I was courtside for it. I watched it. Like, you don't know. The Boise State beat Oklahoma. Central Florida beat Auburn.
Those are the best
games. Did you think... In 2007, when the New England Patriots were undefeated, did you think the New York Giants were going to win?
Already beaten.
Like,
No. They did not.
But guess what? They played the game.
And now those are the best games of all time.
Right. So I just don't, these people like, you, oh, it's like, okay, so just because a team would beat, we think they'd win, that advances them to, I just don't get it. But so I'm excited eventually that we're going to expand to, I'm cool with 12. That's fine. Like you said, I think it's best for Nebraska. I've always felt like 8 feels like the best number for it.
Yeah.
But I'm good with 12.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right, man. We slammed on the brakes numerous times in this 1 hour podcast, and I appreciate you reacting to my takes here. I mean, I'm at the point where, like, I either need to crack another bottle of wine or I need to go to bed. I don't know what we need to do.
I'm basically with you.
Okay, so we're gonna turn off the mics. We'll figure that out.
Should we hit the brakes?
Let's hit it. All right, my thanks to Pella. If you're thinking about a new window or a new door, now is the time. Check them out online on the web at PellaOmaha.com. That's PellaOmaha.com. And my thanks to my good friends at Runza. Best fries on the planet, great burgers, cheese Runza, delicious. The food is simply fantastic. Runza makes it all better.
A Huda Media Production.